The sixth case, Gordon v. FedEx. Is that okay, Mike?
Yes. I think you're right.
Hi, Wager.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Steve Feewinger, and I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Marion Gordon. We are appealing Judge McDade's ruling granting summary judgment on the issue of whether there was a question of material fact as to whether there was retaliatory discharge in pursuit of workers' compensation rights. The case is before this court originally because we had brought an FMLA action, which we are not pursuing on appeal, but there's also diversity of jurisdiction or diversity of citizenship, so that therefore the Seventh Circuit can retain jurisdiction in this case. In this case, we believe that the trial court ignored facts in light most favorable to the non-moving party, Ms. Gordon, and that there are material issues of fact as to whether the decision to terminate her was based on her pursuit of her workers' compensation rights. The facts, when viewed in the light most favorable to Ms. Gordon, are as follows. Prior to her injury on October 14, 2008, there had been discussions and, according to Ms. McDaniels, another supervisor, a rumor that one position was going to be eliminated at the East Moline Terminal, a supervisor's position. The position was held by Jason Clark, who had just been promoted to that position 3 months earlier. Ms. Gordon had long been an employee in this terminal and was performing a job that was essential to any type of terminal for freight, namely an OS&D clerk position, overages, shortages, and damaged goods. It's a position that Mr. Maloney, the terminal manager, admitted cannot be eliminated on function. It's something that has to be done every day with respect to the shipment of goods and services by FedEx. The court heard and saw in the record that Ms. Gordon was told by another supervisor, Ms. McDaniel, that it was Mr. Clark's position that was being aimed at to be eliminated. Then, on October 14th at 3 p.m., my client injures herself at work, tripping over some boards, and breaks her wrist, unbeknownst to her that day, but reports her injury to the terminal manager, Jeff Maloney, and also reports her injury to his supervisor, Jeff First, who's present at a meeting that day. She's taken to the hospital, and Mr. Maloney is the person who drives her back from the hospital. Mrs. Gordon testifies that in this case, Mr. Maloney told her, "You're going to be off work for a long time." And she didn't think so. She thought it was a sprain. But then the evidence showed that the next morning, called in and told her supervisor, Maloney, that she wasn't getting any better and that she was going to her doctor. Mr. Maloney and Mr. First meet with Mr. First's supervisor that day at lunch, and they are told to target one full-time position for elimination. That position that gets eliminated is an essential job function position for this terminal, the OS&D clerk, whereas the evidence before the injury shows that the targeted position was the second-level supervisor position held by Mr. Clark. That decision gets made after Mr. Maloney not only knows of the injury, tells Ms. McDaniel to file a report of injury to FedEx's offices, and then knows the next day that she is going to continue to pursue her workers' comp rights by seeking further medical attention. The Hinthorn versus Rowland case from the Illinois Supreme Court in 1988 says that is enough to create an issue of material fact as to whether her pursuit of her workers' compensation rights in this situation, based on her report of injury and based on her seeking medical attention, and then the decision the next day to terminate her occurs. Well, we also have evidence in this record that her position wasn't eliminated. It was assumed or subsumed by Ms. McDaniel for a period of about 7 months. And then Chris Call was placed in the OSD full-time position in July 2009 when Ms. McDaniel resigned. Based on that, we believe that there are sufficient facts in the record to create a material issue of fact as to whether the decision was made based on her pursuit of her workers' compensation rights. I'd cite the court to the decision in Bryant versus Avon Products, which was a Northern District, Illinois, 1998 decision on summary judgment. And in that case, the facts presented were, here the evidence was that Bryant suffered a work-related injury, that she had sought medical treatment for her injury, that the decision-makers knew that she had suffered a work-related injury, and that she had sought medical treatment for her injury. Bryant was terminated less than a month after her work-related injury. This evidence is sufficient to permit an inference that Bryant was discharged for seeking medical attention for her injury. In this case, apply those facts here, or apply that analysis here. Here we have evidence that before October 14th, another person's position is to be eliminated, Mr. Clark. We then have evidence that the two persons told to get rid of the full-time position, Mr. First and Mr. Maloney, know of her injury because she reported it to them. We have knowledge that she went to the hospital, and they knew that she was going to the hospital that day, and Mr. Maloney knows she went to the hospital because he picked her up and told her then, you're going to be off for a long time. We then know the next day, in the morning, she again reports, I can't come to work because it doesn't get any better and I'm going to go see my doctor. And what do? They have a lunch meeting where they're told that day on the 15th, we're going to eliminate one full-time position for sure now, get something in place, and who do? They eliminate the person who's injured. That is sufficient under Illinois law, as developed under the Hinthorn case and its progeny, to create an issue of material fact. The trial court completely ignored any of the evidence that occurred prior to October 14, 2008. There is no mention in Judge McDade's opinion and order of the fact that Mr. Clark's position had been targeted originally to be the one that would be eliminated. He has turned the burden of proof on summary judgment on its ear. He has viewed all the facts in the light most favorable to the movement and not to the non-movement in this case. And we'd ask that the court reverse and remand for trial. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ray?
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Michael Ray, and I represent the appellee in this matter, FedEx Freight. The issue before the court this morning is whether the appellant, Marion Gordon, presented sufficient proof of the causation element to survive summary judgment on her retaliatory discharge claim under Illinois law. As the district court quite correctly held, she has not, for at least three reasons. First, to survive summary judgment, Seventh Circuit law requires Gordon to show some evidence that FedEx believed she either had filed or intended to file a workers' compensation claim at the time she was terminated. The undisputed facts show there is absolutely no such evidence here. Second, Ms. Gordon admitted away her cause of action at the district court level by admitting such dispositive facts as FedEx's legitimate and non-retaliatory reason for her termination as part of a company-wide reduction in force. And third, Gordon's undisputed own testimony demonstrates that her claim has no merit. as she testified that she believed she was fired because she actually filed a workers' compensation claim. Now, this is an impossible claim because the decision to terminate her employment was made 2 months before the actual filing of the claim and a full month before she actually filed that claim. She also testified that she did not take a single step relative toward filing a workers' compensation claim until the very day that she filed it, again, a full 2 months after the decision was made and a month after she was informed of that decision. Before I launch back into those points, I would like to briefly address the arguments that counsel has made this morning. As you've just heard, counsel's theory of the case is that another supervisor named Jason Clark was slated for elimination, and then after Ms. Gordon tripped over some wood at work, the company all of a sudden changed its mind and inserted Ms. Gordon to be eliminated. There's not a single iota of record evidence to support that contention. The only basis in the record for that alleged fact is Ms. Gordon's own testimony that another supervisor, Carol McDaniel, told her that Jason Clark was supposed to be eliminated at some point in time. Ms. Gordon testified she never asked McDaniel how she knew that. Ms. Gordon testified she had no personal knowledge of whether that was true or not. Now, when Ms. McDaniel was deposed, she testified unequivocally that all she heard was a rumor from some individual whose name she could not recall, who was simply repeating a story that he had heard to her. That is the only basis in the record for this Jason Clark story, and we submit that this proverbial game of telephone is simply insufficient to stave off summary judgment. Secondly, the counsel also mentioned that Ms. Gordon called the morning after she had suffered this injury and told Jeff Melanie that she was going to see her own personal doctor because it wasn't getting any better. And he asserted that this was evidence that Melanie knew she was pursuing her rights under the workers' compensation statute. This is untrue and unsupported by the record. Again, it's unequivocal and undisputed that Ms. Gordon never told a single person at FedEx that she believed or she intended to file a workers' compensation claim prior to the termination decision. It's also undisputed that she didn't do a single thing relative toward filing that claim, again, until a full month after she had already been terminated. Pursuant to this court's decisions in Roger and Judge Caney's own opinion in Sweat v. Peabody Coal, it is essential that the plaintiff come forward with some evidence that the employer knew or suspected that the plaintiff was going to file a workers' compensation claim. And the undisputed facts of this case hold that that is not true. In addition, counsel also relied extensively on the Illinois Supreme Court's decision in Hinthorne. That case is easily distinguishable. Hinthorne is a motion dismiss case. There is absolutely no discovery that had taken place in that case. Moreover, the facts alleged in the complaint of that case were that the plaintiff had filed two previous compensation claims. The individual had been told just prior to her termination that you are costing us too much money and we're going to have to let you go because you're getting hurt too much. There is no such similar evidence in this case where discovery has revealed that the plaintiff never told a single person about any intent to file a workers' compensation claim. In addition, counsel also mentioned the timing between Ms. Gordon's injury and the ultimate decision to terminate her employment. But what's important is not necessarily the timing, but the facts that were known to the decision makers at the time that that injury occurred. Ms. Gordon falls on October 14th. She goes to the hospital. It's undisputed that at the hospital she was diagnosed with just a bruise. During the car ride home, she told Melanie she was happy that nothing was broken. While counsel also asserted that Melanie told her he thought she would be out a long time, plaintiff testified that she directly responded to that comment that she doubted she would be out a long time. After that, Melanie received a note from the hospital stating that she would be out of work just one day. So from the time she's injured until the time that the termination decision is actually made, the employer knows that this is a minor injury. Now, down the road, about 10 days later after the termination decision was made, Ms. Gordon is diagnosed with a broken wrist. But it's undisputed that at the time the termination decision was made, nobody expected Ms. Gordon to be out for more than one day. Not Ms. Gordon, as she testified in her own deposition, not Jeff Melanie, not any of the other decision makers in this case, and not even her own doctor. Now, the second point that warrants this court affirming the district court is Ms. Gordon expressly admitted 57 out of 58 of FedEx's statement of material facts at the district court level. Perhaps most importantly, she expressly and unequivocally admitted the non-retaliatory and legitimate reason for her termination. Gordon expressly admitted that it is uncontested in this case that FedEx eliminated her position in a neutral reduction in force because, one, it was the only full-time hourly office position in the location, and two, eliminating her specific position would lead two supervisors at the facility, which management deemed necessary. Again, she further admitted in response to material facts that she has absolutely no evidence to challenge FedEx's basis for the decision, as she has no personal knowledge about who made the decision or the factors that went into it. As the Illinois Supreme Court has held in Clemens, where an employer comes forward with a non-discriminatory reason for the employment action that cannot be rebutted by the plaintiff, the causation element is not met as a matter of law. Lastly, summary judgment is appropriate here because Gordon's own testimony demonstrated that she has absolutely no evidence of causation. Gordon testified no less than three times in her own deposition that she believed she was terminated because she formally filed that workers' compensation claim on December 15th. Again, a full 2 months after the termination decision had been made and a full month after she was informed of that decision. As the district court properly noted, this is an impossible claim because she did not file, make any comments to anyone at FedEx related to filing, or take even a single step toward filing any workers' compensation claim until a full 2 months after the termination decision was made. Do the members of the court have any further questions? I yield my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wright.
Briefly, Your Honors, the record does show that she reported the fact that her injury occurred, she was going to seek medical treatment, again, that morning of the 15th. There's nothing in the record that FedEx is asking you to view these facts in the light most favorable to them rather than to the light most favorable to the non-movement. There's nothing in the record that shows that they had made this decision to eliminate this position until after they knew about the injury. That in and of itself, under the case authority, is a factor in determining whether it is retaliatory. If they know that she's injured and she's pursuing the rights, they then make the decision to eliminate that OSD position because it's an hourly one. That's a jury question. What impact did the injury have on selecting that position for elimination? That is something that cannot be decided in summary judgment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will stand in recess.